The following presentation is brought to you exclusively on GoFightLive.tv.
Oh, good morning, honey. So, what do we got on the menu today? Whoa, what the hell was that for?
You're waking up with the Billy C. Morning Show.
That's only in the morning. You're supposed to be up cooking breakfast or somebody, and so...
Only on GoFightLive.tv.
That's like an alarm clock.
Woo-hoo! Waking you up like a double shot of black caffeinated.
Excuse me. I ordered an espresso.
Every weekday morning at 6 a.m. is the Billy C. Morning Show.
Good morning, everybody. The Billy C. Morning Show, only on GoFightLive.tv.
The fight's on us!
And that's Jeremy C. with me. What is this? You've been pretty good. I'm a little impressed. I definitely lost the money on this bet because I threw a couple of dollars against you.
There's been some monkey wrenches here and there, but I got here by 6. Every day.
Hey, I'm just glad.
It was that one day. It was 6:01, and you were panicked in my chair.
Hey, I proved to the world yesterday that I can.
Oh, you did?
I can operate that.
Maybe I'll pull that clip up. I'm gonna shut off your microphone.
Yeah.
That's
right. I shut off my own microphone. But anyway,
it's not so easy.
You know, first and foremost, before we fool around a little bit, give you an update on the Oscar Diaz situation. Unfortunate part of our sport that we all know and love. Oscar Diaz underwent some surgery yesterday to relieve the swelling on his brain, and apparently it went well. He's not coherent yet. He's not even, you know, they're saying they didn't have to put him in an induced coma, which is a good sign, but he's still unresponsive as of, you know, about an hour ago when I checked everything. But hopefully Keith might have some insight on that when he comes. I know he's going to get a hold of Ron Katz. But from what we understand, you know, in such a terrible situation, it looks as good as it could for where we're at right now. So all of our prayers and thoughts are with Oscar Diaz. So we'll get into that a little later. But anyway, while Hughes was sleeping.
While the world may be asleep.
The news, however, never stops. The Billy C. Morning Show presents...
While Hughes was sleeping. All of a sudden I look over and Jeremy's going... to be in a big studio like we are.
Yeah.
Nothing but the best.
I got a point, because from this side of the room, you know,
I can barely see. I got to have my glasses on.
Hey, Bill! Yeah.
Well, while Hughes was sleeping, it's official. It's okay to eat tomatoes again. I was a little nervous there, you know.
I'm having
What's
some
a salad now? Without a tomato, yeah. You know? The other day, I was in a place getting something to eat, and had a little salad. You know, they come out and mound it with tomatoes, and it's like,
Should I?
Thank you. I'll just take the olive. But anyway, the FDA said it's okay. They said, but still stay away from those peppers, the jalapenos, and any kind of spicy pepper, I guess, is still, they're still investigating.
Still
that.
On the no-no list.
Yeah. But apparently, 1,200 people guaranteed cases of salmonella. And it spread over 42 states, including Washington and Canada, Washington D.C. and Canada. So we'll keep our eyes on that. It's always interesting to know when you have to really, you know, you go to eat something and you wonder if you're gonna,
you know,
live.
You know what the funny thing is with all these? You know, we've been reporting on, you know, salmonella all of the time.
Vinny Manila.
I haven't even thought about it once when I sit down to eat. No, I'm like, whatever.
You've been throwing down tomatoes?
Roll the dice, baby.
You've been throwing down tomatoes?
Well, I had pizza for lunch and dinner the other day.
Yeah, but they're saying raw tomatoes.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is, you know, you see some of these farm stands around here. Here in New York, anyway. Nothing's really ready. I mean, I don't care if you started your garden early. There's no, I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, unless they have a greenhouse or something. But I
see, you haven't seen tomatoes?
No, I've seen these fruit stands with tomatoes. And I'm saying to myself, now wait a second. They can't be from around here.
Murderers.
It's like fresh corn.
Yeah.
You know, knee high, 4th of July. You know the old saying. But anyway.
Actually, I don't, but now, thank you.
Now my dad told me that one. I got so many interesting stories that we got to talk about. This one is kind of a good note. They're working on a vaccine for Alzheimer's.
Oh, good.
You know, but some of the patients that they have.
What were we just talking about?
Right. Some of the patients that they have can't really remember if they took the yeah. stuff or not. But you know, all kidding aside, they found this like plaque that builds up on your brain, and they're trying to contribute that, and they think if they can battle that plaque. You know, that the Alzheimer's they'll be able to control it. So far, it has not worked. You know, Alzheimer's, I lose my mind sometimes, so I'm like, sometimesers.
Sometimesers.
You know what I mean? Not all times.
Not all the timesers.
But anyway, you know what they said? I saw, you're the one that's always talking about marijuana and drugs and shit.
I am?
But they did a study. I remember they did a study on marijuana that they were given, and this is I'm serious.
Yeah.
They gave a study with Alzheimer's patients, and what they noticed is that it helps them. It shrinks the brain, like when they take the however they consume yeah. the marijuana, and it works.
It's in a brownie.
It works for them. You know what the problem is? They felt that it might not be smart to give an Alzheimer's patient. You know, mind altering.
You think
they're already suffering from dementia? Could you imagine? Not only are you suffering from dementia, but
baked.
Yeah, speaking of baked, you can't even get enough cookies.
You know what that reminds me? Speaking of weed and baked, I'm renting Half Baked this weekend. You ever see that movie?
No,
You got to see that one. If you like drug movies, you know, like comedy drug movies.
Well, Cheech and Chong is.
Well, that's the Bible of comedy
right,
drug.
Right.
But get Half Baked. I'm not going to say anything else about it. Just that it's one of the funniest drug movies ever. Half Baked.
Yeah. Well,
Dave Chappelle.
Oh, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah,
star. Did he ever? Clean up his problem with HBO. Didn't they sue him for like $700 million?
I didn't know that. I never heard that.
Like, no. He got this big contract with HBO and then he walked away.
No, that comedian. Was Comedy Central. His TV show.
Oh, did he walk away and go to HBO?
Was no, he just walked because he didn't want to do the show anymore.
Wasn't
he was like afraid
like,
of the stardom, I think.
Didn't they offer him like
ridiculous amount
of
money? Yep. His show was
Hey,
fun.
Comedy Central? We're available, yeah. You know. Hey, if you got a half a truckload, we'll take it. I'll take a pickup
truckload. I'll
take
a pinto load.
A pinto.
You know what? I'll take a pinto.
You know, my buddy Hugo Santos, he's emails me every so often. He sends me this morning, I was checking out a Zab Judah, you know, on YouTube. You know, I heard we were on YouTube. I did a search for everything boxing.
I found Go Fight on YouTube, but I didn't see anything about us.
I didn't see anything on
us. Well, you know, Cecil. Come on, Cecil. Get us on YouTube, too.
Yeah, Cecil.
It's not just about the fight, Cecil.
I'm still a little uptight with Cecil. Cecil isn't doing his job because I'm starving. You know, I mean, I haven't had, you know, whatever. Don't even get me started with that. Don't even get me started with that. But anyway, Hugo sends me this this email. He says, hey, I thought you might like this. And it's a link to YouTube, Zab Judah, right? So it opens up Zab Judah shooting craps in the streets of Miami. This is what happened. Shooting craps. Basically, something happened. It looked like he was a sore loser. To tell you the truth, it looks like Zab was being Zab.
Yeah.
And he was a sore loser. And next thing you know, a big street fight breaks out. Zab is in there fighting.
Nice.
And they got the camera going. You know, my point is, you know, first of all, Zab knows that there's a camera on him.
Yeah.
It was looked like his guy had the camera. You know what I mean? I mean, they were
maybe
all
his guy
him.
Should have hit stop.
You know, right. I mean, I don't know what he's thinking there, but anyway. You know, this weekend, tonight, as a matter of fact, not this weekend, tonight, Yuri Korkis Gamboa, I think one of the hottest young fighters out there. I love watching him. He's been a guest on this show. He's fighting a real tough guy on ESPN Friday Night Fights, Al Seager. He originally was going to fight Jose Rojas, but something happened. That fight dropped out, and we reported, I believe, on this show, definitely on the Talking Boxing show on Wednesday night, that it had changed. So it's talk about a last minute sub. I think he just took the fight like either Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, and you know, both have a tough task in front of him. If you recall, the last fight that Yuri Caucus was in was a high profile fight on TV. You know, it was on pay per view, or I think it was on cable network, maybe Showtime, and he fought upped his level of competition, but the knock on him, he won, but the knock on him was he's a little too cocky. You know, now what he's been used to, he's been dominating, you know, being a Cuban refugee, so to speak, you know, defector, I should say, not a refugee. He's not a refugee, he was a defector. I don't know, he built a boat out of coconuts or something, I don't know. But he came over to here, you know, came over to Miami, and he's been doing very well in the States, and he's a little cocky in the ring. And his last fight, he was dropped, a flash knockdown, and they fired his manager afterwards. And Moritz was telling me that you know, they resolved that problem, and you know, he's serious that we're not going to see it. So I'm really going to tune in mainly to see if he's tightened up his style a little and realizes that, you know, the pros are definitely different than the amateurs. Not that he, you know, in Cuba, the amateur program is so good. And we've talked to a lot of Cuban fighters that basically tell us that there's so much talent in Cuba in terms of boxing that we'll never get to see because they're not allowed to leave, yeah. You know. And we can't get those cigars. Why can't we get those cigars? Why did they have to, you know... When Fidel Castro did that, why did he go after the cigars?
I don't know.
Let's see. What did those Americans want the most? as they're all smoking around them. What could it be? What could we take from them that will cause long-term effects, you know? Cigars! Let's take those away, you know. Right. I know. It's terrible. You know, you got to smuggle them over from Canada. Come on, we all do it. Go to Canada. Yeah, I got a box of cigars in the
Let me write this down. Yeah. Canada. Right. Who's so your contact, Bill?
Hey, you want to know another thing? You could get them.
Turning you on.
Listen, I might as well let the cat out of the bag. You can buy them on the internet, and what they do is the way they get around it. This is from what I understand.
Yeah, not that I'm doing it.
The way they get around it is they ship you the Cuban cigars. There's some resellers.
Yeah. Right?
And they ship you the cigars in two boxes. One box has the cigars in it, and then the other box has the wrapper. Not the wrapper, the ring. The label.
Okay.
That you know.
That shows it's a Cuban.
Cuban, right? So by doing that, they get around the customs BS.
Gotcha.
And that's how you get them here. Huh. You know? So, and I know for a fact that I heard that's what happens.
What's that box on the studio table over there?
The what?
That box over there. I'm going to go open it.
The box with... You mean the box that has the skull and crossbones on it that says, don't open this?
It says, Jeremy, do not touch?
No, it says, Jeremy, do not go in the bathroom. But one other thing before we take a break, and then we totally go to boxing. Another thing I found interesting yesterday, they have a new method. You know, people, life-saving operations where people donate a kidney and stuff. The problem with the procedure was that, you know, you never knew if you were going to survive. If you're doing a nice thing for somebody, you're going to give them a kidney.
Oh, and then you're dead.
Which is a very nice thing, if you might add.
I try to do it at least once a week.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they want my kidneys. There's like an olive in it. No, but hold on. I just want to finish.
Go ahead.
They're taking kidneys out through your navel.
What?
Yeah, man. They go in through your belly button, and it's less trauma. They have an interview with this guy that they did it in Cleveland, and he said after a week, he doesn't even feel like he had an operation. He had his kidney removed for his father. Huh. Crazy stuff, I'll tell you.
I tell you.
It's technology. It's really going through the roof. Listen, we're going to be back. I think we have to take a break. Do we have to take a break?
Yeah, you think?
Oh, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back, and we're going to talk about David Haye, still in the news, talking BS. We'll talk a little more about the Yuri Caucus Gamboa fight, and we're going to have the guy from Arkansas is going to come and join us in about 2 minutes. We'll be right back.
Would you rather hear this?
Down goes Frazier!
Or this.
You're disgusting!
need your permission, boys!
The Billy C. Morning Show. We'll be right back. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we bring you Talkin' Boxing with Billy C. We think you'll learn something and maybe even have a good laugh.
I wish one of your guys had children before I could kick them in the head or stomp on their before you could feel my pain, because that's the pain I had.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you. If you have a problem, turn off your station.
You can't last 2 minutes in my world. Look at you scared now, you hung. Scared of the real.
Make sure you kick me good with those big
lifts. It's Talkin' Boxing with Billy C. Billy C.
Jeremy.
What's up? Look what Billy's got me doing now. He wants the limo. He wants the cigars. Now he wants his lunch catered.
What's okay. up with this guy?
Dude, what are you doing, man?
I'm doing the website 24 hours a day. My phone's ringing. It's Billy.
Hey, you got the website updated?
TalkinBoxing.com. Got to download those podcasts, people.
If you want to contact the show as well, you could go there.
Contact page is everybody's email address.
And listen to some of the old guests. Don King, Roy Jones Jr.
Pretty much every Thursday morning, you can see who next week's show is going to consist
of. It's TalkinBoxing.com. If you're looking for the best boxing, but you just don't know where to go, can't find anything on the TV, local newspaper, or those other internet websites, then you need to log on to GoFightLive.tv, the place for all your boxing needs. Live boxing events, talk shows, instructional shows, interviews by only the best promoters and hosts.
He's fought everybody. He's never dodged anybody, never ducked anybody.
Look at his resume. The last 25 fights. We were talking about this yesterday.
No, I know.
And from the best venues and gyms in the business.
From Philadelphia's legendary Blue Horizon, it's time for the main event.
Both in video and audio formats.
Pete Chambers opening up against Jaime Morales has got the ropes.
What are you for to stop?
The fight is on.
Log on to GoFightLive.tv and sign up for free.
All right, gentlemen, I want you to obey my commands at all times. Do you have any questions? Tuck gloves and protect yourself.
Find the place for all your boxing needs.
GoFightLive.tv.
The fight's on us.
Good morning, everybody. Talking boxing. No, it's not talking boxing.
Well, we're talking boxing on the Billy C. Show.
Yeah, we're talking boxing with the Billy C. Morning Show. Keith Tazarek.
Man, you're bombing.
I am. Keith T.
You want to start over?
He's changing his name. Keith Tazarek joins us from Arkansas. I hope he's going to straighten us out. What's up, brother?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Keith?
First and foremost, I just when we first started the show, on a serious note, we talked about Oscar Diaz. Last I heard, you know, he came through surgery. He was still out. You got any good news for us with Oscar?
Well, they're reporting now that there is some movement
in his
arms and legs.
Oh, good.
But he's still out. He's still not conscious. He's still in critical condition. And we're just all still praying.
Yeah, well, hopefully everybody listening will say a prayer for Oscar Diaz.
You know what? Sure. I wish that was so, but there's a lot of, in that other sport that we don't talk about.
Right.
There's a lot of guys using this as, you know, like a see what happens, you know, see. And boy, it's really frustrating me.
How can they do that when, you know, they shouldn't do that, because that's jinxing themselves. That's my knock on that sport. Some catastrophe is going to happen just with the nature of that sport, and it's going to be well magnified. You watch.
Exactly. And, you know, don't wish it upon others, because God has a way of raining down the same punishments on you.
You know, we all love this sport, and everybody that's involved with it, at least they should, knows the dangers and knows the risks, and all the fighters know it, you know, and that doesn't change anything. You still get, you know, you still feel the way we all feel when this happens.
Right.
You don't want to see it. You try to take every precaution. I'm still curious to know, you know, when and if we'll ever really know what took place in that corner. I mean, it boggles my mind. I remember clearly what I saw, you know, just from TV. I wasn't ringside or anything, but I'm sure once he gets better, that, you know, they'll shed some more light on this. I hope so. You know, I know they have to keep things hush-hush right now. Or nothing out of the ordinary happened except for that very last couple of seconds, you know. I mean, for all we know, he was carrying on a perfect conversation in his corner. We don't know.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, he's got so many fans there in Texas. There were 1,500 people. According to Lou Duva, there were 1,500 people there sending their best wishes at the hospital yesterday. And, you know, mine go out as well, you know, to the camp and the family and to the fighter.
You know, fresh off the press, we got a rumor about Kelly Pavlik possibly fighting old man Bernard Hopkins in October.
Yeah. So much for being the savior of boxing or whatever, you know, the super mega star that we all thought Kelly Pavlik would become, because there's so many guys out there he could have fought, and he picks the oldest of the bunch.
Well, it's a safe fight for him. Bernard is.
I don't know how safe it is. I mean, for the first, you know, 5 or 6 rounds, it's probably the toughest fights of his career. But after that, I don't think you know, as Joe Calzaghe proved, I don't think Bernard's got enough in the tank left to give him much more of a fight than 5 or 6 rounds.
Exactly, and you know, the thing is you know, remember Bernard, you know, his I've always said that his strength was his defense and counterpunching ability, which we all saw that wasn't at its best against Calzaghe. And you know what Pavlik's going to do. We talk about it all the time. He's going to come right at him. And I don't know. I think it's another case of you know, fighters padding their bank accounts. And Bernard is no different. He's, you know, throwing some extra coin in his too, you know. And I just don't understand where the interest is, you know.
The interest, I don't know either, because I don't know many boxing fans that are really that interested in this fight. I think it's just being jammed down our throats because, you know, they make the deals. They don't listen to the fans.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I like Pavlik. You know, I hope that he was going to be the savior, so to speak, of that division. But, you know, I've about had it with Hopkins. I can't stand seeing him anymore. You know, inside the ring, you know, I'd like to see him a little more, you know, with the promotional company, with Oscar and all that stuff. But
well, what I don't understand is, you know, Pavlik, he came on the scene, 160 pounder. Then he fought at 160, you know, a catch weight between 60 and 68. Now he's fighting Bernard Hopkins at 170. Is he moving into the light heavyweight division?
You know, it's strange. It's like him and Calzaghe. I don't know. Are they like calling each other, asking what they're gonna do, and then kind of, you know, it's like, are they the same person? You know, I mean, you know, because they seem to be following the same path, up and down, back and forth. No, I'm gonna only do it for this fight. Then I'm going back to super. You know, all of that stuff.
Well, I tell you know, playing around with your weights like that's not good for you. Excuse me, it's not good for your body. And it's not good for the fans because, you know, they don't know who to root for, you know. So
speaking of,
I just think it's a bad move.
Speaking of weights, David Haye just can't keep his mouth shut, huh? He's back in the news, calling out all the heavyweights now, calling them all fat slobs. Maybe he listened to our show and was listening to Rick Glaser because Rick was kind of saying the same stuff. But the thing is, we said it yesterday, Keith. You know, David Haye is a great talent. There's no question about that. Let's, you know, put that on the table. I mean, we're not going to take anything. I'm not going to take anything away from. I shouldn't say we. I don't. I'm sure you'll speak up if I say something that you don't agree with. But the truth of the matter is that he's a great fighter. I mean, there's nothing. I'm not taking that away. However, you know, except for the one fight that he came in heavy and his opponent came in heavy and they fought at heavyweight, he is a cruiserweight. He hasn't fought a heavyweight yet. You know what I mean? So he should. I mean, why is he doing this? Is it just to try to get a fight and make some money? And I mean, you know, it's to me, he's losing respect. He's definitely changing how I view him.
Well, I don't know why he's doing it. To be honest with you, I mean, every time he opens his mouth, he puts another nail in his legacy. I mean, he had everybody interested. And then he starts talking smack to everybody. And, you know, take one fight at a time and, you know, sign a deal to fight somebody.
Somebody.
You know, do it, win it, and then start talking a little bit. I mean, everybody wants to be Muhammad Ali before they step in the ring with Sonny Liston.
I know.
You know?
Well, the fight, the David Haye, you know, the fight that actually I thought would have been the best move for him. I disagreed with the opponent, but I thought that the best move for him should have been when they were talking about him in Moskayev. I thought that would have been a decent fight, okay? We get to see him against a guy that, you know, is clearly on the, you know, downswing. He should have been already off the swing. But he climbed back on. He's gonna get back in. And I could see him, David Haye, you know, that's a good test. I mean, nobody can say that Oleg doesn't hit hard. I mean, he may [S2] Right. [S1] Be old and may have seen better days, but he's a hard puncher, no doubt. And he's got a good chin. So it would be a good test for David Haye to fight him, and if he got by him, then he could talk some smack. But this is a guy that hasn't even stepped in the ring yet with a legitimate heavyweight.
I'd like to, you know, with Maskev fighting elsewhere, I'd like to see him fight Golota.
That's a good fight too. That's a good fight too.
Yeah, that might just shut it. That just might shut his mouth permanently and put him back down in the cruiserweights where he belongs.
Or it might make him talk like this after Golota hits him a few times under the belt. But that wouldn't be a bad fight, you know.
Well, I think as short as Hay is, I think that's a safe fight for Golota.
Hey, you know what? You know, we talk about, you know, Brian.
He'd have to kick him to hit him with a low blow.
Well, he finds ways of doing that. You know, another decent fight now that we're talking about is Brian Minto and David Haye. Wouldn't be a bad fight either. You know, Brian Minto doesn't have the boxing ability that Haye has, but he's definitely going to come at him, and he's going to try for the knockout.
Yeah, well, he's definitely going to have more movement than Golota will have.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. But he's,
you know, but I don't think he punches as hard as Golota does.
No, but he's a little smaller. And, you know, he would probably be weighing around what David Haye. Any word on what David Haye's fighting weight at heavyweight's going to be? Originally they said, "Oh, I'm going to be weighing about 229," but you know, I don't know if he's going to add 30 pounds.
I don't know if he can make that. I mean, as much as his mouth is open and he doesn't have time to eat to get the weight on.
Yeah, well, you know, fighting at 200 pounds and telling, you know, maybe at fight night he's up to 210.
Right.
To all of a sudden get up to 229, because face it, today's heavyweights, we talk about it all the time. If you're not 229 pounds, at least, you know, how are you going to fight these guys?
He wants to stay away from guys like Ruiz, because Ruiz would beat him, you know, because Ruiz, you know, puts his weight on you. And you get a guy putting his weight on you and pushing you around the ring and constantly leaning on you that's 30 pounds heavier. And you know, not with a guy that's got to actually put on weight and not be as lean and mean as Haye has been. I mean, he'd lose that fight.
You know, we're gonna have to take a break here, but you know, Freddie Roach was in the news yesterday talking about, you know, how he felt that Manny Pacquiao could not only beat Oscar De La Hoya, but he could knock him out. You know, we were talking about all these big money fights that are out there. And the one, you know, I think that Manny's going to fight Floyd at some point. But I don't know about him fighting Oscar. Do you think Oscar can come down in weight to fight Manny? Or do you think they would be a catchweight somewhere? But
there'd be a catchweight.
How much more weight can Manny put on?
But if that fight, I'm gonna make you guarantee, if that fight happens, if Pacquiao de La Hoya happens, then I guarantee Mayweather and Pacquiao is going to happen, because that's a perfect step into, okay, because you had Mayweather was already fought De La Hoya, he was supposed to fight again, Mayweather supposedly retires, and then Pacquiao moves into that slot, then you know for a fact that that's the lead-in for the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Tough fight. I mean, I'd like to see Manny beat both of them, so we'll see. All right, listen, Keith, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back in about 2 minutes, and we'll keep talking.
Is the roommate still asleep? We'll take care of this. It's the Billy C. Morning Show on GoFightLive.tv. You've heard those other sports talk radio shows.
Tomorrow's game will be the first meeting between the two. Beating both will be the game. 3 at 3 p.m. It seems every week they have a player. Oh no.
Talk Talking Boxing with Billy C will give you the latest news, results, upcoming fights, interviews with today's upcoming boxing stars every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. for 2 hours.
Passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
It's Talking Boxing with Billy C. If you want your voice heard on Talking Boxing with Billy C, then call our hotline at 845-228-8710. Leave a voicemail, or you could just tell Billy C that you like his mustache.
Should I ask you your opinion about this idea?
I'm just trying to give you the encouragement.
Listen, all I need from you is to make sure you don't hang up on people.
And if we like your call, we'll play it back on the air.
Billy, you have the knowledge and wisdom of boxing because of what you do and how well you do.
Leave your name, hometown, and what you think of the show. 845-228-8710. We want to hear you.
The fight's on us. GoFightLive.tv is your internet home for live and on-demand boxing video. Go to GoFightLive.tv to see great boxing action, including live fights, live daily webcams of fighters training and competing, video boxing shows featuring celebrities of today and yesterday, as well as boxing news, interviews, stats, and new innovative and exciting content added daily. Click on www.GoFightLive.tv. The fight's on us.
Become a friend of Talkin' Boxing with Billy C. On MySpace, you can get show downloads, important links and info, check out all the pictures, become a part of our online community with today's fighters and other personalities, leave a comment, become our friend. MySpace.com/TALKINBoxing.
Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Billy C. Morning Show, only on GoFightLive.tv. And speaking of GoFightLive.tv, new programming coming up starting tomorrow. So make sure you guys tune in from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on GoFightLive.tv. Ballroom Boxing Report, starring Scotty and Scotty. It's Scotty Squared. Two great guys, man. You got to check out the show. I've listened to it. It's good. These guys know what they're talking about. Scotty's an encyclopedia when it comes to boxing, and Scott Wagner is from Ballroom Boxing. They put on some great shows in Maryland. So check that out. It's going to air. It's going to make their debut tomorrow morning, 9 to 11. So tune in to Go Fight Live and check that out. Call them. Call them and tell them Billy C sent you. So, all right, Keith. Manny Pacquiao, Oscar De La Hoya, would be a good fight. You know, I'd like to see it. I still want to see, ever since we mentioned it that day, I still would love to see a Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Yeah, most definitely. I'd love to see, you know, Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, but he's got to work his way into it. And I think this is the perfect way to save the De La Hoya fight. And it's the perfect way for him to show the world that he can fight at the higher weight, you know. So that's a great fight. I saw where Freddie Roach was saying that Umberto, you know, they were a little worried about Umberto Soto. I have a hard time believing that they're very worried about Soto.
Yeah.
I think that's a way to, you know, get out there and get people interested in the fight, because other than that, I don't think anybody is interested in Soto Pacquiao.
Let me ask you a question. Why would Freddie Roach mention Oscar De La Hoya's name if they're trying to push the Umberto Soto fight? You get people like us starting to talk about a potential Pacquiao-Oscar meeting, and nobody remembers Soto.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's because they need to keep all their options open. I mean, until something's signed, that Soto's going to wind up being the mandatory, or is the mandatory. So if they can't pull off the De La Hoya fight and retain his belt, then he's going to have to fight Soto.
Yeah, but you know, we said yesterday about Manny Pacquiao. He has such drawing power and so much appeal. I mean, you know, everybody wants to see him so much that he's bigger than the titles. He could care less. If he's got to pass a title, if he's got to vacate a title to fight, in this case, Oscar De La Hoya, and he's got a vacated title, so Soto can fight somebody else. He would, I think. I mean,
oh, yeah.
He doesn't care. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, Pacquiao's bigger than a belt, you know, right now.
I think so, yeah.
You know, some guys would care, you know, but other guys, When they get bigger than the belt, the sanctioning body needs them more than they need the sanctioning bodies.
Well, we got a big fight coming up next week. We'll start talking about Miguel Cotto against Antonio Margarito. Can't wait to see that one, July 26th.
That's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, I like Cotto. We keep talking about Mayweather. That was a guy that I just wanted Mayweather to fight. I wanted to see him fight Miguel Cotto. Miguel Cotto.
I'd like to see him fight Margarito.
Right, right.
You know?
I mean,
I'd like to see him fight anybody that's actually in the top five in that division.
Or under 30.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? Right.
You know, but that ain't going to happen. I mean, I would have even settled, to see him fight Claudio, you know?
Yep. Actually, I agree with you. But Berto's got to fight Claudio, right?
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of a fight, I'll talk about tonight's fight in a second, but Saturday, I don't know if it's in Germany or Chekhov, it's in Moscow, actually, Povetkin is fighting. Now, he's been rumored to have to fight Klitschko. Now,
yes.
He's fighting Torres Sykes on...
He's got to get past Sykes first.
Now, what do you think of that fight? I mean, with all this talk with Povetkin being in line, I mean, do you think he's losing focus? Because Torres Sykes, although he's supposed to be a win for Povetkin, he's not a guy that you should take that lightly.
No, he's not a guy to take lightly. And the fact is, as bad as he looked against Eddie Chambers, I think Povetkin really needs to take this fight seriously. Because how he appeals to the public with this fight after the last one was so bad, that could kind of be the difference between a big payday and a little payday. You know, when he fights, when you got to fight Klitschko, you better get paid. So as far as I'm concerned, and I don't think he looked that well against Eddie Chambers.
Well, remember one thing. The IBF number one ranked contender, who Povetkin is, as of late, in the past not too long, in the last couple of weeks, really, the number one and number two IBF ranked contenders, like a la Mike Oliver, who's mm-hmm. a super bantamweight, and the guy who we talked about as being very overrated most recently, Shu Pao, was ranked number one. Both of these guys were in so-called tune-up fights, ready to take yep. on world champions, and they both lost.
That's right.
So, I mean, Povetkin, he seems like he's a disciplined fighter, though.
Yeah, he does. He does. I got a bad feeling about this if he winds up as disciplined as he is compared to, and as disciplined as Vladimir is. I'm going to tell you, it's going to look like an amateur bout. I think it's another disappointing fight if these two meet.
Yeah. If he gets by Sykes. But like you said, I mean, boxing is a sport, and it's an art, really. And, these guys, that is the knock on Klitschko. That's the style that these guys fight. They're cautious, but they win.
European style fighters. They fight to score points. They don't fall for this American, hype about you got to knock a guy out, you got to stand toe to toe and fight a war. I mean, these guys fight it as a sport. They don't fight it as a barroom brawl. And unfortunately, our judges and our fight fans, they don't really appreciate talent. If they did, guys like Corey Spinks would have been, adored. Instead, they were tolerated. Winky Wright, same way. We don't appreciate, a lot of fans don't appreciate the fine art of boxing. And when you take two guys that are great boxers with good technical skills and put them in the ring together, unfortunately, it usually doesn't turn into dollars.
Well, you say about the sport of boxing, I mean, you go back and the number one line that they always say about boxing is you got to learn to hit and not get hit. And I think that... That's the problem with some of the judges, that they don't give... You mentioned Winky Wright. He's a prime example. Great defensive fighter that doesn't get the recognition for avoiding punches. These judges, sometimes I think they get swayed by the crowd. They're you know, looking at punches thrown. They're not really paying attention if they're landing or not. And then you always got to battle that other judge that, you know, comes in with the Red Corners T-shirt on. You know what I mean? You know, he's got the keys to their car in his pocket, you know, among the scorecard.
When you talk to fight fans, even casual, even a lot of supposedly fanatics, when you talk to them about their heroes are guys like, LaMotta and Basilio and Marciano and you know, guys like, unfortunately, you know, in modern time, guys like Cotto. And, you know, you stand in front of your fighters that take abuse and give it out and knock people out. And you don't see them, you know, a lot of these guys don't appreciate Mayweather and they, you know, the skills involved. I mean, we knock Mayweather all the time, but technically, as a boxer, the guy's one of the greatest. Same thing, you know. People say that Robinson, they'll say that they love Robinson, but out of their mouth comes the other fighters I mentioned. So people love the knockout artists.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is that you're right about the Mayweather. I don't knock him for his skill. I would never, you know, I would fight someone if they told me they didn't think that that Mayweather had boxing skill. Either that or I would just know clearly that the person didn't know what he was talking about. My knock on Mayweather is the fact that he's so right. talented that he only fights one-dimensional. And unlike Robinson, who, listen, you know, I've learned, especially the last few years, I've learned a lot of stuff about Sugar Ray Robinson, you know, ducking fighters. I mean, people have heard on this show and on the Wednesday show, the Talking Boxing show, about him ducking like guys like Charlie Burley. And, you know, we talked about him we talked about the Blast from the Past with Joe Jeanette. You know, guys like him being ducked by even, you know, Jack Johnson and other people. I mean, you know, what I knock on Mayweather is the fact that, you know, he's never, in my opinion, has had to show diversity. He's never had to come up off the canvas or fight a different fight. And the only guy that I honestly, to this day, and I talked to Scotty Rouse of that Ballroom Boxing about it a couple weeks ago, that Ricky Hatton. I mean, everybody says, oh, Ricky was too small, he was this and that. Yeah, he got knocked out. Yeah, it was a bad knockout, but nothing for nothing. He was able to cut the ring off, and he forced Mayweather to fight. And I wish I could see. That's why I want to see him fight a guy like Miguel Cotto. You know, Cotto's going to know how to cut the ring off. And then we could see Mayweather do what he should do. And then I'll be the same guy that will say how, you know, that he's up there, you know, in terms of all-time great.
Mayweather, it seemed to be the template for Rocky IV, I think. You know, I mean, he's the perfect, you know, his career's been steered. No, there's no doubt about it. I don't know if it's as much as Floyd Mayweather as much as his management team. But
who, Ricky? You know, Ricky, you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about Floyd.
Oh.
He's kind of been steered. You know, he's been perfectly managed, okay, but for money. But he's not perfectly been managed for legacy. Okay, you know, there was his whole career. He's made choices to fight guys like Shambe Mitchell and.
Yeah, but do you think before
instead
you
of guys that were at the top of the division?
Let me ask you a question. Do you see a parallel between Mayweather and Roy Jones Jr.'s choice of opponents and the way their career?
No, not as much.
Really?
Not as much. Yeah, I think Roy's fought much. I think Roy's fought stiffer competition.
Because that's been a knock on Roy. When anybody knocks Roy, they always go, ah, well, you know what? Roy Jones Jr. is, you know, hand-selected opponents. He's, you know, he's fought guys at the right time and everything. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know what? That seems like a parallel with Mayweather.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Mayweather did take a page out of Roy's book. But you're seeing the same thing happen with Kelly Pavlik. You know, they're hand-selecting these guys. I mean, why fight Bernard Hopkins? What's there to gain? I don't even think
probably,
there's as much.
Probably about $10 million.
Yeah, but I don't think there's as much money in it as there was maybe 5 years ago with Bernard.
You're right.
You know, I think there's more money in fighting other guys in that division. You know,
maybe guys will buy that like me that just want to see Bernard, you know, get a beating.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, so I
don't know. I'll be honest with you. It's not worth $50 to me to watch Bernard get a beating. You know, I mean, I frankly, you know, maybe five years ago, I would have loved to see Bernard get one, but now he's already gotten one from Joe Calzaghe. You know, what do I care if he gets another one from Kelly Pavlik?
You know what I would do, Keith? I'll send them. What they could do to me is send me an invoice. I'll send the money right now, just so I don't have to listen to Bernard Hopkins for the next 4 months telling everybody how he's going to destroy him. Because that's the part of it that makes me sick with Bernard. I mean, yeah. his the way he promotes himself. But anyway, big fight tonight, man. Yuri Korkus Gamboa is fighting a last-minute sub who's no slouch, Al Seager, former world title challenger. I'm looking forward to this fight tonight, Keith. We're both big fans of Gamboa. I'm looking for him to be a little, show us a little seriousness in the ring. I'm looking to have his hands up tonight. What's your thoughts on this fight?
To be honest with you, I don't think you're going to see anything different out of Gamboa than what you've seen already. I know Al Seager's a tough guy. But I just think Gamboa is a world-class talent.
I know, but by him keeping his hands down, and I mean, don't you think it's going to catch up with him? His last fight, he was put to the canvas. It was obvious that, you know, he's in a different level here with these kinds of guys, and you got to keep your hands up. You can't give them any kind of window.
Well, I think, you know, part of the reason why he keeps his hands down is he counterpunches, and that just invites the counterpunch, you know. It invites guys to hit him so he can counter him. And yeah, he's got to keep his hands up, and he's got to do a little bit better defensively. But I don't know if Al Seager is going to make him do that.
I'm not that familiar with Al Seager at all. What style is he? Is he a come-at-you fighter, or is he
a boxer? Yeah, he's a come-at-you fighter. You know, he's pretty much a one-dimensional fighter. So this was a perfect last-minute replacement for Gamboa. They didn't really, you know, I like Al. I think Mike Gerald's done a great job with him out in Savannah over the years. But, you know, I think Al's probably had his better days. And it's a good record, and it's a good fight, but I don't know if it's something, you know, it's a 60-40, definitely. This is not a 50-50 fight for Gamboa.
Well, You're right. I mean, the way he fights, you know, with his hands down and stuff, I thought it also was, you know, reason that he did that was because, you know, he had so much confidence in his hand speed as well, you know, that,
exactly.
You know, he invites somebody to take a shot, and he's nailing him with three or four punches before the guy even lands his, you know. But it's just, you know, when you get into the level he's at now, and, you know, top five ranking, he's fighting the best fighters in the world.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take some caution.
Yeah, well, he's going to take some punishment before he lands a little caution. I can tell you that, and nobody's been able really to do it, you know, and force him to change his style a little bit. I don't know if anybody will before he gets into the top five competition, but they're moving him really, really quick.
Yeah, no, it looks like you said it on the Talking Boxing show. It looks like by the time he's got 15 fights, he's going to be fighting for a world title.
Yeah. No doubt, if not sooner. I mean, what's he got, 5 or 6 now? So, you know, 10, 8, whatever. I mean, the guys, they're priming him really quickly, and I hope that mentally he can do it, because there's a big difference between the amateurs and the professionals.
The only advantage he has in that respect is that he's not 21 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he's like 27, 28, so... you know, being suppressed, so to speak, in Cuba, where he, you know, was fighting amateurs, that kind of, you know, got his pedigree. You know, getting back to Floyd, and I hate keep talking about Floyd, but I hate it, but I like it, you know. But, you know, the thing is with him, you know, we were talking, I said that, oh, maybe he's taking a page out of Roy Jones, but you know what? I'm just thinking, it just popped in my mind. You know who he seems to be really following the same route, and we said it before? Sugar Ray Leonard. If you go back and you know, look at Sugar Ray, how many times did he retire? I think counting the one for real. I think he made at least 5 public announcements that he has retired from the ring. 5. You know, so, you know, and then every time that he came back was pretty much setting up big money fights and ultimately the fight with Marvin Hagler. I think that that's similar to what Mayweather's doing. And he also is finding himself staying in the limelight, a la making, you know, racist, saying that, you know, HBO was racist towards him.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, I'm getting a little tired of these guys taking these old playbooks out, and you know, the same guys that complain about boxing, you know, the way the fans aren't coming back the way they should be, blah blah blah, and they complain about it, and then they take these old playbooks out, you know, and they use them over and over and over again. That's what people get fed up with, you know, and it's just not. You know, Sugar Ray, it was Evander's retired and unretired, and all these guys retiring and unretiring, and people don't buy it anymore. You know, they just don't, they don't buy it, they don't pay attention to it. When you talk so much smack in a sport, people tend to tone it out. It's kind of like, you know, a husband with a nagging wife.
Yeah, it's like the boy who cried wolf.
Exactly.
You know, you don't hear nothing anymore.
And then, you know, and then when they do announce something, and, you know, they were announcing Pavlik Kalzagi, and they were talking about it for 2 or 3 months now. And then, of course, you know, we've got Kalzagi fighting Jones, and we've got Pavlik fighting Hopkins. And, you know, that's why people don't pay attention to press releases anymore, and they don't pay attention to reporters as much as they used to, because you can't trust anything anybody says.
Hey, have you followed, you know, I like following what's going on in across the pond with fights, you know, because, you know, as great as our boxing fans are here in the States, boxing is really at a different level over in Europe, you know, UK, Germany, we all see all this stuff. Well, Danny Williams, the guy who knocked out Mike Tyson, one of the guys who knocked out Mike Tyson is fighting in a fight that he's hoping that will get him back in the mix. He's you know, serious. He's been training. He's fighting against another tough British fighter, John McDermott, this Saturday in England. Have you looked into this fight at all? Have you followed
it? You know, I saw some releases on it, and I didn't talk to anybody on the fight because, to be honest with you, I've been disappointed by Danny Williams before. This McDermott is somebody new, you know, so I'm hoping that, you know, maybe Danny Williams goes away with this fight as well.
Well, they're fighting for the British title, and, you know, the winner supposedly is gonna get some kind of a shot, or at least be in the mix. Danny Williams says he's, you know, like what we've been hearing from everybody, says he's in the best shape of his career. He's 35. I actually thought that he was a little older, to tell you the truth. But McDermott, I mean, it's not like he's an undefeated fighter. He's, you know, 25-3. But you know what? It's being well received over there, and another Frank Maloney show. So I guess we'll see what happens on that. I won't be able to watch that one, not unless GoFight has it. GoFight, send us over to London. You know, send us.
Well, I tell you what, you know, there's a fight going on over the pond between New York and New Jersey, actually. I saw a release last night that Paul Wallach's stepping up big time against Ishe Smith.
Oh, really? Oh, you know what? Where did I see you? You're right. I saw that somewhere.
August 1st on Showbox.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's going to be live on Showtime. And you've got, you know, I never thought Wallach would step up. You know, I figured he'd stay a local celebrity. But he's making a move. I mean, Ishe Smith is no slouch, so this is going to be a good fight. And then Jorge Taron steps up as well against Michael Lozada. So Lozada, but who's 29-4 himself with 22 knockouts against Jorge Taron, who's 21-0. So
where's Wallach? Where's Paulie Wallach fighting Ishe Smith? Where is that fight?
That's going to be Gotham Boxing, which is Cedric.
Oh, Kirchner, yeah.
In Brooklyn.
Oh, good. Oh, at the Aviator Sports Arena?
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's, all right, good. So Gleason's might be involved with that, Bruce Silverglade. So,
A good chance. So that's a good Showbox show. I think Showbox coming back a little strong with that one. That's, you know, in the biggest media market in the world, that's going to be a good fight.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gotham Boxing, it's a good time to have that out with the new Batman movie, you know, coming out. It's always been my favorite.
Oh, Wake up. And,
I think he's doing it on purpose.
No,
now.
I wait for a
20 minute show.
He wait. No, we're at it. He waited. We didn't even. I tied him up for a minute. We didn't take a break. But you know, he's sitting here. He's waiting. He felt so bad yesterday. After we got off the air, he's going, "Oh man, I hope Keith's not mad at me." He says, "I didn't mean it. I was waiting for him. Yeah, he's going, "I was waiting for him to stop talking." And he must have just been taking a breath because as soon as he hit the button,
he started talking. And then there was just like 3 seconds of nothingness. I'm like, "Okay, trigger." And then as soon as it hit, you started talking again, Keith.
Well, anyway. That promo tells us it's time for the...
Here, I'll do it to Bill, too.
It's too early for a trivia question. And first we'll give yesterday's answer. Zach, I'm sorry, I can't even pronounce your last name. Plantiliego. You better email me your address. Zach, if you're listening, you won. You got the Prime Around magazine that we'll send to you, but you're going to have to send me your address because... You didn't send it to me. But anyway, he guessed correctly that the question was, who was Old Bones? Well, none other than Joe Brown. He was former lightweight world champion and International Boxing Hall of Famer. Joe Brown, whose nickname was Old Bones, and Zach Tawilogarok. Zach, you better email me your address so we can send you to Mac. Okay, today's too early for a trivia question. Uh-huh. We have Joe Santodiquilo on this show from Ring Magazine, so you know what, I should have had this question Wednesday, but I decided to ask it today. Ring Magazine has been putting out their Fighter of the Year award since 1928. The first one who won it was Gene Tunney. Today's too early for a trivia question. Question is, who's been named Ring Magazine's Fighter of the Year the most? Ooh. Who's been named Ring Magazine's Fighter of the Year the most? Ah. Email me the... Oh, Jeremy must know this. Not, email me the right answer at Billy at... Sam Langford. Billy at talkingboxing.com. And if I use your name on there, if you guessed it correctly, I will send you a Prime Around magazine. And then on
this day, right?
Jeremy's finally got this down, Keith. Okay, but stop all those resumes you keep sending
me. Some cues would help, but I'm just waiting to watch you pick up a piece of paper.
Every time I go to do something, you go, "Bill pointed." I was scratching my leg. I was pointing,
Yeah, I'm looking for some. Oh.
I thought
you wasn't. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were doing a blonde moment. That's just a menu he's got in his hand.
On this day, I'm starving. Get Cecil on the phone. On this day, July 18th in 1951, Jersey Joe Walcott, one of Keith's favorite boxers, knocks out Ezzard Charles in the seventh round in Pittsburgh to win the world heavyweight title. So that's what took place today in 1951. Keith, we got about a minute. Well, you got any final thoughts you want to add for the weekend?
Yeah. Final thoughts. 40 years after his death, Rocky Marciano is still getting his props. They named the new post office in Brockton, Massachusetts, for Rocky Marciano. So my hat's off to the Marciano family, and he's finally getting his due.
The Brockton Blockbuster, huh?
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody to tune in tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on GoFightLive.tv and check out Ballroom Boxing Report with Scott and Scotty. It's a great show. Check it out and call them in. They're going to give you an 800 number. It's not going to cost you nothing. Call in and tell them Billy C. told
you. Weren't you on that show?
I was on it a couple weeks ago. I'd love to get on it again if they will have me. but anyway, I also, my prayers go out to Oscar Diaz, like the rest of us here. And, I will say this, not that I want to say that, I'm going to get on a platform like Teddy did. But the truth of the matter is, I know a lot of people disagree with me. I've received emails about it. You know, I just feel that if we did have some kind of across-the-board medical testing, not that it would prevent anything, but it would at least give us a gauge to do comparison checks, and not that this would have changed the outcome in this, but, you know, it's something we got to start thinking about in the sport of boxing. So, anyway, listen, everyone, have a great weekend. Try and tune into tonight's Yuri Caucus Gamboa fight. You know, it's going to be a good one. And make sure you come back and join Keith, myself, and Jeremy C. on Monday morning. Same bat time, same bat channel, only on GoFightLive.tv. Have a good day, everyone.
Have a good weekend, Keith.
You too, guys.